This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. I'm Ebong Udama. Connecticut's Attorney General says he's ready for Trump 2.0.
He is promising a lawsuit very soon, beginning with the birthright citizenship issue.
That's Mark Pazniokas, Capitol Bureau Chief and co-founder of the Connecticut Mirror. He's done a deep dive into how Connecticut Attorney General William Tong prepared for the blizzard of executive orders signed by President Donald Trump as he begins his second term in office. More to come after this.
Hi, I'm Bruce Putterman, publisher of the Connecticut Mirror. Here at the Connecticut Mirror, we do more than just cover the news. As a statewide news organization, we connect people. We introduce people from Wilton to people in Willimantic. We show New London residents what they have in common with New Milford residents. We connect folks in North Branford with folks in North Canaan. If you believe in the importance of connecting people throughout the state, please make a donation to CT Mirror today. Thank you.
One of the first executive orders Trump has just signed revokes birthright citizenship. William Tong, Connecticut's first Asian American attorney general, his parents were undocumented when he was born. So this is an issue that's personal for him, right?
He has sort of given that impression, but I did pin down with him that his parents were here legally when he was born. He identifies emotionally with the people who are at risk from the president's executive order on birthright citizenship. But the scenario that surrounds his birth really is a little bit different.
Okay. But he does consider that his parents were, for a time, were illegally in the country.
Correct. There was a time when his father, at least according to family lore, was facing deportation. He was here on a visa that was expiring, and he had opened a business. He had opened a Chinese restaurant on Park Street in Hartford, and the suspicion in the family is that a competing restaurant owner had dropped a dime and said, you should check this guy out. And indeed, he was visited by the INS and told that he is going to have to leave the country because his visa was rapidly approaching expiration. And then his father wrote a 6-page letter to President Richard Nixon. It's a little fuzzy what happened next, other than the fact he was later visited by INS and told he could stay under precisely what status, an extended visa, I've not been able to determine. But the bottom line is he and the Attorney General's mother each did obtain a green card that gave them legal status and eventually U.S. citizenship. But the bottom line is Attorney General William Tong feels very strongly about the vulnerability that immigrants, whether they have status or don't have status, or they have a mixed family. According to Mr. Tong, about 70% of immigrant families are what he calls mixed status. You know, you might have somebody who's here with legal status, somebody who is here on extended visa, expired visa. You know, Tong's view is this is something that rattles families and also sets the stage, you know, for economic dislocation if there are mass deportations, which, by the way, would not the end of birthright citizenship. It is a constitutionally suspect position on the part of the president.
That's because
order, which I read today, he says, you know, the interpretation has never been resolved. Well, that's just not true. I mean,
it is a 14th Amendment. It's written into the 14th Amendment, correct?
Correct. And the United States Supreme Court interpreted it at the end of the 1890s to say it means what it appears to say, which is if you're born here, you have the right to citizenship.
Now, Tong has an association with all the other Democratic attorneys general in the country. There are about 23, 24 of them, right? They have been meeting. What does Tong say they'll be doing now?
They have been preparing in essence, battle plans in anticipation of a much more organized Trump 2.0 administration than we saw with Trump 1.0. An example is in the first Trump administration, it took him about a week to issue an executive order that was widely interpreted as directed at Muslim immigrants to bar the entrance into the United States of people from Muslim countries. Again, that took a week. Yesterday, I don't know what the final count is. I'm still going through all the orders, but he obviously was ready. And he had at least two public signings of these orders.
Now, how does Tong feel about taking a prominent role in challenging the Trump administration? He's a politician. How does he take this?
Well, it's an interesting question because he, like many attorney generals, it's a high visibility position. He has been very partisan at times, but recently he has been chosen as the president-elect of the National Association of Attorneys General. And that was very deliberate on his part, he said. He was in a leadership position for the Democratic AGs, but he really wanted the leadership of the nonpartisan group. It's this really odd bifurcation. He will work with Republicans, AGs on many issues, but be at odds with the more political ones. And that's going to really involve everything having to do with the Trump administration. And that was true for earlier administrations. It wasn't always suing a Democratic administration or a Republican administration. When President Obama was in office, Democratic attorney generals basically went to legal war with Republican attorney generals over the Affordable Care Act. His predecessor was involved, Mr. Jepson was involved in defending the ACA against Republican AGs who sued. This has become, you know, the rise of the attorneys general has come since the Reagan years, when there was a retreat from a lot of federal enforcement and regulatory efforts, and the AGs stepped into this void. And over the subsequent years, it's become more and more political. And I think that's reaching a climax now with Donald Trump back in the White House.
Now, talking about political, I noticed that Governor Ned Lamont was one of four Democratic governors who showed up for the inauguration in Washington. Does Tong have ambitions to run for governor? I know you asked him that. What did he say?
He is somewhat coy. I mean, his basic answer is he is a supporter of Ned Lamont and will remain so until such point that Governor Lamont announces he is not going to seek a third term. Governor Lamont has said that is a decision he will make in the late spring or early summer, and then we'll share that with his party and the rest of us. So he is certainly positioning himself to compete. Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz, who is certainly running, she has nothing to lose. She will lose her position if Lamont does not run again. Whereas Tong has a hard decision to make, it is a very enjoyable job for Tong, as it has been for his predecessors. Two of his four elected immediate predecessors went on to the United States Senate. So it has been a very, very effective springboard to higher office. So the question for William Tong is, if it's an open race for governor in 26, does he go for that? Or does he wait to see if United States Senator Richard Blumenthal decides not to run again in 2028?
In the meantime, he's got to take on the Trump administration 2.0.
Yes, he is promising a lawsuit very soon, beginning with the birthright citizenship issue. But he and his fellow Democratic AGs are going through the pile of orders that were signed yesterday, late yesterday afternoon, and well into the evening, trying to determine what states are most affected, who has legal standing to sue, and what are the legal defenses and arguments that can be made. And that's, in a nutshell, is the three-pronged test that William Tong outlined yesterday for when he would make it his business and Connecticut's business to challenge President Trump.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you.
Long Story Short is hosted by me, Ebong Udama, and produced by Molly Ingram. Harriet Jones is our editor. WSHU's Alicia Daddario and the Connecticut Mirror's Gabby DeBenedictis are our digital team. This podcast is a collaboration between the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. We go behind the scenes at the home of public policy journalism in Connecticut. More can be found online at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Our episodes can be found wherever you get your podcasts.